Ghosts are everywhere.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
We are here for another episode of Ghosts Are Everywhere. I'm going to say it right off the bat so that people know.
Just getting it out of the way.
Getting it out of the way.
Ghosts are everywhere. Bam.
Ghosts are everywhere. And you just have to deal with it.
Yeah. Figure it out.
Get
with it. Get with the times.
Get with the times.
It's 2022. Ghosts are everywhere. Get with it. We've been saying it. We've been out here. We're going to keep saying it.
Spreading the word that ghosts are indeed out there.
Yes. You're welcome.
You're welcome. And I'm Cecilia, and...
That's right. And I'm Carly!
Indeed.
That's right. And this is Ghosts Are Everywhere, like we said. We just want to make sure that you've heard that and figured that out.
And we said... We promised you that we would have an episode last week, and guess what? We didn't. So...
Yeah, we full-on lied to your faces.
So we apologize for that.
Yeah.
We also, were busy...
Not terribly apologize, but also apologize enough.
We apologize a little bit.
Respectable.
We were busy. Yeah. I ended up having to go to a cottage.
She had to go.
And then I had to go to another cottage.
I had a weekend
in Ottawa to go to that was cursed, but we don't have to get into that. I just told Carly all about it.
Exactly.
If you want to know all the details, I'll tell you.
But not right now. Today.
Not now. Okay? Not on the podcast.
Gossip mongers, get out of here. Actually, no, stay, but we'll tell you later.
We'll tell you later if you need to know.
That's right. It's a need-to-know basis, and you'll find out.
Yeah.
I was out east. I was on good old PEI. Prince Edward Ireland, as some might call it, as one lady called it one time when I was working there. And I couldn't correct her because I was dressed like a Victorian woman in character, and I just said... I don't know what Facebook Live is, so I can't correct you as you're on it, lady. True story. Weird times.
She said Prince Edward Ireland on Facebook Live.
Yeah. Cool. In front of me, and I couldn't really correct her because she was talking to what I would call a mirror, which is her cell phone.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, your pocket mirror. Sure, you can talk to it, weird lady. I wasn't about to correct her.
You can be incorrect at yourself, I guess.
Right? To yourself. I'll stand here like you're talking to yourself, weird lady. It was really funny and still one of the things I think about every day. I wake up in the morning, first thought, Prince Edward Ireland. And then I go, nope. But yeah, no, I was in PEI. Celia was at the cottage. Time was hard and weird and good and confusing, like it usually is. But we're getting back on track. I know we said that last week, but we actually are.
This time we're doing it, people.
Out of summer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're moving out of summer, right?
We are moving out of summer.
It's still August. It's still summer, but we're moving out of it. We're on the way to the next thing, which is our favorite. Fall, baby!
I'm eating some end of summer. I got some wild blueberries at the corner store.
Yeah, I went blueberry picking with my fam yesterday. It was beyond
so good.
Yeah, I dragged them out to Princeton, Ontario, to pick some bloobs, and we did. And I'm gonna make blueberry jam. So that's that on that. I'll let you know how it turns out.
Okay, let us know.
Fingers crossed.
Bring some on the podcast. They can be a guest.
Yeah, they'll bring the blueberry jam.
My bloobs are, I guess, on
this podcast. It'll have lots to say.
Can you hear them?
Sure. Yeah. So many bloobs.
We'll see if the people can hear the bloobs. They're screaming for help in my stomach.
They're saying, wah!
They're happy to be here. So we've been out and about doing summertime things.
That's right. Being busy, being babes, being...
But we're back.
Not that bored.
We're back with a story from our pal Carly, right?
That's right. We talked to the last podcast about your trip, your summertime trip, your places you saw. And we're now going to talk a little bit about my summertime trip. Not the trip I just mentioned. No, but the other trip I mentioned last time.
Different one.
The spooky trip I went on. And one of the places I saw while I was there. Because we have something special cooking up, as we kind of mentioned briefly last time. It's still cooking. But before that happens, I have a little special taste of the spooky place that I went to. It's, I'm sure you already know what it is. It's in the description. It's, anyways, I'm keeping it secret because that's who I am. So, it's going to be a choose your own solo Carly adventure. And buckle up, baby.
Buckle the fuck up.
Jump on your broomstick. And let's get ready. So, here we go. In coastal Essex County, Massachusetts, above the city of Boston, lies one of the most infamous cities in New England. Say it with me, folks. Salem.
Salem.
Great job. Everyone
said it. I was trying to think of a different Massachusetts city, but I wasn't quick enough.
And you were like, not Boston. She said Boston. What else?
Boston.
Boston. No, Salem. So the original lands of the Namkeag and other First Peoples, because of the continuous colonization by Europeans since 1626, first as fishermen, and then the following waves of epidemic that they brought with them, when English settlers arrived in droves, they were met with little resistance. Mm-hmm. So by the time the famed witch trials of 1692 occurred, it was
heard
a
of them?
Colonial town and a vital port city through and through. Mm-hmm. And then in 1790, mm-hmm. it was the sixth largest community in the country. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you were saying something and I cut you off.
I said, heard of them?
Heard of them? You might have heard of them.
Salem Witch was trials. The sixth largest community?
By 1790, it was the sixth largest community.
Okay, I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, because when we think about the U.S. at that time, it was mm-hmm. just basically New England, right?
Like, yes. Yeah, yeah, like there wasn't much of it.
Yeah.
That
yeah, it was just, yeah, so, because there was, yeah, because it was just 1790.
Mm-hmm. It was only 1790. It was the youngest country in the world.
It was so young. Young and spry. Mm-hmm. It was basically that song from Sound of Music. I am 16 going on 17. I'm a new country. Mm-hmm. That's what they would sing to itself in the mirror every night. Mm-hmm. So when we visited, we being me and my family, we went on an amazing walking tour where our tour mm-hmm. guide said that basically anywhere you step in Salem, someone has seen or heard something spooky.
Okay.
That pretty much every building was haunted as hell.
Okay.
Which, like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, every building? Well, we'll get into it.
Apparently.
One building that I hadn't even thought much of that I visited earlier in the day is the building that houses the restaurant Rockefeller's.
Okay.
So.
Like Rockefeller's? Like fellas?
Rockefeller's.
Like Goodfellas?
Like Goodfellas, like with an A, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Not like Rockefeller, like the family, but Rockefellas.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, Rockefellas.
Yeah.
It's fun. Located on Washington Street in downtown Salem, across from the Bewitched statue, which is a sentence I never thought I would say, is a distinctive three-story red brick building that was built in 1826 by the First Church of Salem. It was the fourth meeting house of Salem's First Church and was designed by Boston's Solomon Willard and Peter Banner. This version of the building that still stands today was built right on top of the three it preceded. You know, kind of the thing they did in those days. Mm-hmm. They're like, probably burnt down by fire. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things. The old thing was here. We'll just do it again on top better.
Just, it fell down. We'll just build another one in the same spot. It's
right.
a good spot.
We had a strong wind.
Yeah.
Infested with crab. You know, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Infested with crab. I'm just picturing the biggest crabs New England can offer. Does New England have crabs?
Infested with one crab?
With one? It's just the biggest crab in the
just
world.
A really big crab. Yeah, there's crabs in New England.
Right? They have crabs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the biggest, the king crab of New England.
The king crab just walked on in. Mr. Krabs himself.
Mr. Krabs himself. Krabby Patty recipe. Strolled on
in there. He said, "I live here now.
Yeah,
deal with it."
Yeah, so they knocked that third version down and built a new one on top of it.
Okay.
Because they said, not in my town.
Uh-uh.
So, once the building was completed in the year of 1826, the church used the second floor for their services and rented out the lower floor, the street level floor, the first floor, to local businesses to help with the cost of owning and operating such a large building. Because it's freaking big.
It's a church?
It was built as a church.
Okay.
In 1826.
Does that second floor, look like a church? Or is it more of just, a big open space?
I think it's a big open space, is my understanding.
Yeah.
Kind of like a ballroom. The way I've heard it described is a ballroom.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, when I went for lunch, we didn't go see the ballroom.
Okay.
But it's a cool
Spoiler
alert, I went for lunch. But I went for lunch before we knew it was super haunted. We went on the tour later in the day. Yeah. Okay. So, second floor, Jesus House.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom floor, Money House. You know, the two churches.
Yeah, church and state.
Yeah, church and state in one building. We get
church
it.
Church and state. They're only separated by some stairs.
Yeah, they're under one roof. Church and state.
Mm-hmm.
So nearly 50 years later, around 1874, the whole building was remodeled, and it was remodeled in the style of Victorian Gothic. So it looks pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. So still at that time, the ground floor was rented out to various commercial ventures to help pay to maintain the whole thing, which is, I think, also why they could remodel it. Some of the stores that were down below, there was a crockery, glass and china shop owned by William Bodwich, and there was a dry goods store owned by Edwin Ide. And in the 1870s, the National Exchange Bank was the tenant in one of the spaces, adding a huge vault and double depth windows, which are features still in place today.
The vault's still there?
Cool.
Big ass vault's
still there. Yeah. It's hard to get those things out. Once they're in, they kind of stay. Yeah. Right? So it eventually was purchased by one of its commercial tenants, which started out in a corner on the first floor and then expanded to taking up the whole first floor. Was the jewelry store Daniel Lowe and Company, who then acquired the building after Salem's First Church merged with the Unitarian North Church in 1923.
Okay.
So, while traveling in Europe in the late 1880s, the company's founder, Daniel Lowe, saw souvenir spoons that inspired him. And then, surprisingly, later, Daniel Lowe and Company hit it big in 1891 with a silver souvenir that they dubbed the Witch Spoon of Salem, which they registered as a trademark and advertised in nationally circulated magazines. With their success, the following year in 1892, the company decided to launch the country's first mail order catalog, which grew to as large as 200 pages.
Starting with just a spoon?
There was the spoon that built an empire. Their first mail order catalog was called the Daniel Lowe Yearbook. Which I think is hilarious. Yeah.
Whoa.
And the spoons
look so fucking cool.
Yeah, they're like pointy. I found a listing for one on Etsy, and it's listed at $393.51 Canadian plus shipping.
Damn. So
they're really out here saying, you want this antique, you're going to have to pay for it. The big bucks. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I know. It's pretty freaking cool. It has, the handle of it. We'll post a picture of the Instagram, but it has the handle of it with a little witch and says Salem.
Yeah, there seem to be, a couple different ones, because there's one that's, a weird shape, and it says Salem with a little witch on it, and the other one has, a cat and, a snake, maybe? Or, some sort of, thing winding around it, and, a moon and a witch.
It's cool. The one that I saw an actual advertisement for, an original advertisement for, was the weird shaped one with the witch that says Salem.
Yeah.
So I saw a period correct
That's cool.
advertisement for it, which was really weird. And so the Witch Spoon of Salem, they registered it as a trademark and made it big. And they sold it, and it was made of silver, and they said, this is what we're leaning into.
This is what we're going
for. Back in the day, jewelry stores weren't, you didn't just buy jewelry at them. You could buy, chandeliers. You could buy, special, dishware and, giftware. It's not how we think of jewelry stores now, necessarily, that only sell jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. They also sold silver spoon souvenirs.
They also sold, souvenirs. So weird.
So weird.
So
yeah, they're not like the like 1970s, 1980s spoons that like grandmas have on the wall. They're like silver, like legit.
Yeah, like it's so much fancier. Yeah, because like so fancy. My grandma has a whole bunch of those spoons, but none of them look. I mean, some of them are kind of cool, but
yeah, like fancy. I think they're cool. I've like started to make jewelry out of them.
Yeah.
Right, and like keychains and stuff, because people will use them. People don't really use them hanging on their wall anymore. Mm-hmm. So I've just been able to find bags and bags of them and just like turn them into stuff people do use.
Yeah.
Without feeling too guilty, because they're not terribly valuable and they're not, you know, very expensive, very rare. Yeah. But these $393.51, I wouldn't make that into a keychain.
No.
I would hold it in my hand and say, you can pry it out of my cold, dead hand.
Yeah, right?
Like, this, you could take this from me.
This is my pride and joy.
Truly.
You are not allowed to touch it.
Oh my god, if I ever had it, it would be right up there with my Victorian child's boot hook I found once. I love it. So weird. I love it. It's so weird. There's no reason for it. It's just silly.
It's just their boot hook.
So... boot hook! I love them. Don't get me started on boot hooks. I could talk about them at length.
I will not. Don't do it.
Okay. Don't make me.
I will not.
Okay.
We don't have time for that.
We don't have time to get into boot hooks today, Carly. Well, you know what else I found once? This is off topic, but I found it's similar. It looks exactly like a boot hook. It has the like same little like weird like handle thing. But on the end is, like, almost like a little tiny screwdriver. And then engraved on it, like, stamped on it, it says Pabst Brewing. I have to look into it. Because I think it's, like, an old Pabst, either tiny screwdriver or, like, something to open your beer.
Some sort of weird bottle opener.
Yeah, it's, like, a weird bottle opener or, like, a weird screwdriver that Pabst made in the Victorian era. Yeah. So, I have to Google it. I did join a Facebook group called Pabst Collectors, and I've been afraid to post it and ask all the old Milwaukee men
The deal is. They'll be so excited.
I know, but they'll also try to buy it from me, and I don't want to sell it.
Well, maybe you'll get, like, $1 million from it. Maybe it's
worth
so fortune. Much.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
You never know.
I have yet to see one on that group. No one has posted one.
Maybe it's, like, maybe it's the only one of its kind.
It's a single. Maybe the Pabst Museum will call me. The Pabst family themselves will say, hi, Carly Billings.
Yeah.
You need to give
Mr.
this to
Mr. Pabst
us.
Will call you and say, Carly, we will give you our whole, all of our money for that.
every money we
we'll
have.
We'll give you every
Maybe
penny.
It's like every penny, last penny in the Pabst penny jar. Yeah. Maybe it's, like, one of those things where, you know, Levi's, if they can get their hands on, like, a true, like, 1800 silver mining pair of jeans, they pay, like, $100,000 or more for them.
Maybe
like, it could be that. Okay, well, maybe I should ask somebody.
Maybe.
I'm sitting on $100,000. No one come to my house and look for it. You won't be able to find it. I've hidden it away. It's in a special safety deposit box.
Carly doesn't have anything...
I am lying. I made this whole thing up. I saw a picture of it on the internet. Well, backpedaling to speak of our yearbook guy, Daniel Lowe, the man, the myth, the legend himself. Mm-hmm. Daniel Lowe was a hardworking man. Apparently, this is not disputed. This is, he's like a
business
guy. He just
was.
Guy.
It's a fact.
He just was. That's how it goes. He got his start as a silversmith apprentice, but as his talent progressed and his notoriety grew, he went from owning a small storefront shop to owning the whole building.
Damn, good for him.
Right? Mm-hmm. He rarely left the building because it was, like, his thing. And in February of 1911, that was no different. Like usual, Mr. Lowe was working at his store, but this night was destined to be different because he suddenly began having issues with his heart and died at his desk.
Damn.
I know. So, after Daniel Lowe's passing, it was up to his son, Seth, to continue his legacy, and he inherited the whole business.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth would do that, work quite hard, just like his father. But his time was cut short, Daniel Lowe and company, when he passed away in 1939. So, wasn't much longer.
Yeah.
And then Seth left control of his company to his wife, Florence, who ran it for a little over a decade, which is badass. lady in the 40s just running, you know, this thing.
Yeah, awesome. Pretty, like, impressive business.
We'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Totally! Yeah, we love it. In 1950, she decided that it was time to sell the business, and she sold it to William Follett.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Lowe & Company was under his leadership until his death in the early 90s. Unfortunately for him, though, his children were interested in running the business, and so then the building was sold to a developer who turned the whole thing into a banquet hall, so it stopped being Daniel Lowe & Company. And the building was like that for a while, but then it was sold about a decade later. And then now, since 2003, it has been Rockefeller's.
Rockefeller's
is a cool little restaurant. It's a good vibe. We went. It was had mm-hmm. good food. I had mm-hmm. something delicious. I had like a flatbread. Yum, yum.
Nice.
And I shared a beer with my aunt. It was hilarious.
Yeah,
it was
why really did you cute. Share a beer?
One beer.
Why?
My aunt said she didn't want a whole one, and I was like, I guess I'll share it with you.
I know, awesome.
I didn't want her to not have one, so it was so funny. I just thought it was really silly, and I loved it so much. And then it also has a second story ballroom, which was where they once held church services long ago, mm-hmm. and they call it, this is hilarious though, the Colonial Room, which why? But that room can hold up to like 400 people apparently for special mm-hmm. events, which is kind of cuckoo bananas.
The Colonial Room.
In the Colonial Room.
Meet me in the Colonial Room.
Hate that so much. But we're not here just to talk about history. We're not a history podcast, are we, Cecilia?
No, we ghost.
No, we're a ghost podcast, guys.
We talk about ghosts.
No, we're also Australian. No.
No. Don't forget.
It's time for ghosts. No. Never forget. No.
Never forget. Never forgive.
Narver Fargart. So, on any given night, people walking by the Daniel Lowe building, or Rockefeller's, just may see orbs floating around the second story window.
Not orbs.
And some, on occasion, have spotted a full form apparition in the windows. So, the people think that there's more than a few ghosts that haunt Rockefeller's or the building.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there's two specifically that show up often mm-hmm. and kind of are known by specific monikers and show up in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
So the first of these two ghosts is a man who's dressed in a black suit. And he's not like a fancy man. He's not like Johnny Cash. He's a minister. He's dressed
not
like a minister.
Not a fancy man like Johnny Cash.
Not a fancy man or like Johnny Cash. Okay. I wasn't implying Johnny Cash.
I thought you were saying like he's not a fancy man like Johnny Cash.
He's not like the fanciest man alive or dead.
Johnny Cash. Okay.
Hello. I'm the fanciest man, Johnny Cash.
Johnny
That's how
Cash.
He introduced himself.
Yeah.
We all know that.
The fanciest man in the world.
Yeah, no, he wasn't a fancy man, and he wasn't Johnny Cash. He's dressed in black, more like a minister. You know, like there's a difference between like a suited man, like a businessman, mm-hmm. or like a suited man, but he's a minister.
Yes.
They got different coats, you know? Mm-hmm. They got different vibes.
Yes.
So, he's more like a minister.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll talk about the minister first,
because
that's how I set it up.
Yeah.
So he's like a black-suited minister, and his story is apparently a pretty grim tale, which, like, is the case of most ghosts and mm-hmm. things, right? Like, it's not usually like, someone had a really good time, and then they died, and then now they're also a ghost. Like, it's, you know, we've talked a lot
not
on this
usually.
Podcast about what makes a ghost, and it's
most,
usually pretty bummer down.
Most of the time, they have a bad time to become a ghost.
Right? So this fellow is usually described as wearing a black suit and appears quite somber. Mm. His story is very vague. They just call him the minister. And he was said to have been severely depressed. And he unfortunately took his own life mm-hmm. on the grounds of where the building stands today. Whether or not that was in the first three iterations of the church or this version
mm-hmm.
or something before that, nobody really knows. It's kind mm-hmm. of one of those things, you know? Yeah. So, who have seen this man? lots of people. So one customer, apparently, who was visited the restaurant one day was a medium. No surprise. We're in Salem. You know, it attracts a certain
Everybody's
kind of folk.
Mediums.
Everyone's a medium. Everyone's a ghost hunter. Everyone's a witch fanatic. Like, let's be real. It's freaking Salem.
Yeah.
I just, side note, I went on Rockefeller's website today, and they were like, sorry, we're not taking reservations for the fall season. It's our busy season. And I was like, the fall? And then I was like, right,
they're
the
in
fall.
Salem, Carly.
It's Salem. Well, because my thought was like, New England in the fall? It's like going to be, you know,
New England in the fall is also beautiful.
I know, it is beautiful. But I thought of it like, you know, when you're on the water and you're like, it's windy and like, I was like,
it's like,
why would you want to do any of that?
Cape Cod isn't like busy in the fall.
That was my thought. That's why at first I went in the fall, and then I went, oh, we're in Salem.
Salem,
right,
you fool.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, you'd think I would know. I have been there.
Come on.
I
can get it together.
Oh,
get it together.
Anyways, so that's where we are. Let's put that into perspective again. So it makes sense that there was somebody who stopped by the restaurant. They were a medium. And she apparently reached out to the minister, and she spoke to the owner of the restaurant about her experience. And she said that she was unable to communicate with the ghost because she couldn't understand what the spirit was trying to tell her.
Okay.
But she, like, could reach out enough to know that he was there. She just couldn't really decipher what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's apparently not the typical experience customers and staff members have had with him, because he usually doesn't tolerate the living.
Mm.
Most encounter him, describe him as rude or grumpy. He's just kind of unimpressed. He's been walking around a little bit pissed.
He was depressed in life. He's still depressed in death.
Right?
It didn't cheer
him
up.
He's like, mm-mm.
He's like, actually, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I should have just stayed alive. This also sucks.
Right? He's like, it all is garbage.
This is all bad.
So a good example of how he interacts with folks is a customer had seen him, tried to take his picture.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as they were ready to take his picture, their camera jammed and, like, wouldn't take a picture.
Of course.
Right? A kind of a classic. And another example of his kind of lack of tolerance, lack of, you know, wanting to engage.
Yeah.
Happened one night downstairs when a member of staff saw him. The staff member had heard about the ghost, but it was her first time seeing any kind of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So she was stunned as she saw his full form. He appeared, like, fully. He's like, it's me. I'm
like,
here.
Hello, what's up?
Yeah, he's like, it's me. I don't want to. And the staff member claimed that the minister told her to get. Like, get.
Yeah.
As he did not wish to speak with anyone.
Okay.
So, if you see him and you're at Rockefeller's, you might just want to move along and... because he might scold you or break your camera or, like...
He's rude.
Just be generally grumpy, like a grumpy
guy.
He's
not a nice guy.
He's not the nicest guy.
No.
That's for sure. And it is second of the two biggest spirits that people have seen and witnessed at Rockefeller is a certain lady.
Ooh,
and
lady.
She's known, Cecilia... get this, as the Blue Lady.
Of course she is.
We have a lady in a color, baby.
Of course. Where's your bingo sheet? Knock it off. You gotta...
Bing, bang, boom.
We got it. We got one.
You know
one.
The drill. We got them good. We
got
them.
One.
We caught one of these colorful lady ghosts in this oldly settled place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you catch that one? Catch that one too? Oldly settled?
Oldly settled. Kids, don't forget it.
Just slipped out. Don't forget. Wow. Our bingo players are winning today.
I know.
Okay. So, the Daniel Lowe building. This is where we still are. Blue Lady. She's the other, like, pretty infamous ghost that people can find here.
Mm-hmm.
Where can they find her? Well, it's interesting. If you're ever downstairs in the vault, remember how we talked about how it was a bank at one point of the Daniel Lowe building? This is terrible, but you might just hear the distressing screams of a woman.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, so deathly, you would swear that someone had been buried beneath your feet.
Ew.
Alive. Ew. Ew.
Ew.
So, Why could someone be beneath your feet?
I don't like that.
In the basement of the building?
No.
Well, get this. Under the historic and haunted Daniel Lowe building, there are tunnels.
Of course and there these, are. Is that on the bingo too?
Yeah, I think it is. So the kids have happy right. bingo day.
And there you go.
These tunnels were once used by smugglers as a way to transport their illegal possessions, mm-hmm. rum running, anything. Yeah. You know, it's a port city, right? Like, yeah. let's not forget.
Naturally.
So one of the big functions of Salem mm-hmm. and the area. But the tunnels were also used for a better reason at one time. This is interesting. This is not mm-hmm. really ghostly. It's just cool. The series of old tunnels beneath the building were a crucial part in the operation of the Underground Railroad as well.
Okay. So it was actually underground in places?
So it was actually underground in some places.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Not quite railroad, but definitely underground.
Underground.
Yeah. Tunnels, at least. Mm-hmm. So it was part of the network that would help mm-hmm. to free slaves. Mm-hmm. And get them to freedom. Mm-hmm. So, one of the biggest reasons, as you might remember, I said our tour guide said basically all of Salem is haunted, every building. Mm-hmm. She said one of the biggest reasons that that's true is because of this network of tunnels that stretches for miles beneath the city.
Spooky.
So, while you have, you know, the everyday everything happening upstairs, mm-hmm. you've got this whole other, like, labyrinth in city mm-hmm. going on down below of, like, wild debauchery, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a wild westness down below.
Yeah.
So, how could the Blue Lady get beneath the basement of the Lowe building? Well, according to the legend, the Blue Lady was beneath the building, in the tunnels, waiting for her love, a sailor.
Ooh.
And when the sailor finally arrived, she informed him that she was with child and demanded mm-hmm. that the sailor marry her.
Okay.
While she loved the sailor, he did not feel the same way. Mm-hmm. In fact, the sailor was a frickin' bad guy and didn't like this lady no more, and he didn't want to have a kid. So he decided he had to kill her.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the
casual. Just casually.
Casual guy. He's like, what's the best way to deal with this?
Yeah, he's a really casual guy. He said, you know what's casual and regular? Murder.
What is the chillest way to deal with this issue that I'm having?
Yes. Yeah, he said, what's really, like, the lo-fi way mm-hmm. to get through this? And mm-hmm. he said, yeah, full-on murder. Mm-hmm. So, she screamed as he lunged at her. This is what people are saying they hear mm-hmm. in the vault. And he strangled her, which is horrible.
Yikes.
And then he buried her in the tunnel. And there's another version of this story for the Blue Lady. And it has more details than this, like, a sailor, lady, a lover, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's this other part of the story is the Blue Lady was an employee of the Daniel Lowe and Company.
Okay.
And she was working late one night when she mysteriously died. And was found the following morning in the building's vault.
Thanks. So, in the vault? How did he get into the vault? So was he also an employee? Oh, no, he was a sailor.
Mm. He was a sailor, and she was just a lady in the vault.
Oh, no.
Found dead in a vault.
Oh, no.
And it was pretty mysterious when she started being seen. Because when mm-hmm. she first started showing up, people were like, when?
Yeah.
Because the first sighting of her on record happened basically right after Rockefeller's opened.
Okay.
So she hadn't really been seen before then, but in the early 2000s, the early aughts, she said, hey, yeah, it's me. Yeah. I think another version of this, like, sailor Blue Lady story we kind of heard on our tour. Mm-hmm. And it could have been that I may be making this up and maybe confusing with every other color lady story that we have on this podcast.
Yeah.
But I think that she was maybe a sex worker. That uh-huh. was always an option. And she was in the tunnels and was murdered, you know?
Yeah.
Because, again, it's the tunnels. Kind of anything mm-hmm. goes.
Which anything is goes
not
in the
true,
tunnels.
But also, it's got happen. That anything goes mentality. Shit happens in the
Shit
tunnels,
happens.
Man.
Anything goes.
Anything goes. That's the entrance sign to the tunnel. Anything goes.
Anything
they
goes.
They just start playing the opening song to the musical Anything Goes. No, uh-huh. They don't. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everyone's top dancing. Anything goes. Okay, no, they're not doing that.
No.
It's not a good time or place or vibe.
The vibe is off.
The vibe doesn't check out. It's bad. It's a no from me, dog.
Mm-hmm.
So, we talked a little bit about who she could be, where she could have come from, how she could have come to be a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But how about how she shows up at the building today? So, one instance of seeing the Blue Lady was after closing for the night, one of the bartenders was there, working late, cleaning up from, you know, another busy night at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was then that the bartender started to experience some weird activity. And he was scared. And then the Blue Lady revealed herself. And not as, like, you know, a mist, an orb, a vapor. She showed up full form. She said, "Hey, it's me. I'm here. I'm ready to party."
She's just a lady, and she's like, "Hi, it's me, a lady."
I don't think she said, "Hi, it's me, a lady." But
hi, it's me, the lady.
Like,
yeah.
"It's me, the Blue Lady. You might have heard of my work. Mm-hmm. Here's my resume." No, she just, like, showed up full apparition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she showed up full force. Let's just say that. And he quickly took a picture of her, because he'd be like, "Oh my God, there's proof. Here we go." So most of the employees had already believed that the building was haunted because people had been talking about strange and unexplainable occurrences, especially hearing things like the late night screams from the basement. But no one had ever seen the Blue Lady in full till that night. And so the owners and employees of Rockefeller's were stunned when they saw the picture of the Blue Lady. And the picture was immediately put on the restaurant's website and used as the screensaver of all the restaurant's computers. I couldn't find this picture today. I couldn't find it.
Okay.
Did I look terribly, terribly hard? Like, no, but I looked
before. You
Googled
it and it didn't come up?
Yes! Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here, maybe I... No, that's not it.
Yeah.
Lady in Blue Rockefellas.
It's just looking it up with images. Rockefellas is really funny that that's its name.
Rockefellas. It's
Rockefellas.
Rockefellas. Rockefellas.
Uh-huh.
It's really cute. I haven't been able to find it, and I still can't. I think because it was like early days of the internet, right?
Yeah.
Because early 2000s. So. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it was like a thing, and the restaurant at the time even printed t-shirts that read, "Congratulations, you've seen the lady in the blue dress."
Ooh.
Which is, like, you know what, kind of amazing, because it kind of harkens back to what Daniel Lowe was doing. He was like, "Buy my silver witch spoon," and they're like, "Buy a Blue Lady t-shirt." Like, it's very of that spirit, you know? And I love it. I love it so much. So... the Blue Lady legend kind of took a bit of a turn, though, after some customers started to claim to see the Blue Lady near the downstairs hallway screaming in distress. So they kind of, like, pedaled a little bit back on that aspect of their origins. On their website, they don't really say, "We're super freaking haunted," but they also don't really, like, deter people from, like, walking by in their tours and, like... knowing it happened, because they also, I think, I don't remember if I saw it in the menu, but I remember reading about it, they offer specialty drinks sometimes named after the lady in the blue dress.
Yeah.
So, they're, like, tongue-in-cheek about it. They're not, like, also, shouting it from the rooftops, but they're not leaning totally out of it.
They're also in Salem, so I feel like...
You gotta embrace it.
They have to embrace it. Yeah.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do? Be the one place in Salem that refuses?
Yeah.
Like, that makes no sense. Mm-hmm. They're downtown Salem. They're, like, on the main street. Like, yeah. It would be literally across from the Bewitched statue. Mm-hmm. Like, hello, what are you going to do? Not do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you look at it, Cecilia, you might remember seeing it. It's literally just, like, on the corner where all the like little witch shops and stuff are.
Yeah.
And so I got a lot of my information today from rockefellersofsalem.com, noblenet.org, and ghostcitytours.com. And if you want to know what tour I went on, I went for on the Requiem for Salem ghost tour from Ghost City Tours. And it was the nighttime adult one. And it was amazing.
Ooh, spicy.
And we can get into that a little more maybe another day, which is a possible hint. That's something we have cooking.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's mostly the Daniel Lowe & Co. building.
It is a cool building.
Rockefellers. It's a cool building. It's Gothic Revival on top of, you know, older. But, yeah renovated in the 1870s. And
yeah.
Only the inside has been renovated for the restaurant and stuff. But it's really cool. I noticed it was such a cool building from the outside. And when we went inside, there's two, like, doors that they have. They're rounded. Like, they're rounded glass.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
Like, the doors are
the doors curved. Are rounded?
So cool.
That's
the
really
the doors
neat.
Are rounded and curved. Mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit. This building is freaking cool. Mm-hmm. I want to know more about it. And then outside on the building, there's a plaque that said it was where the first church was. First Church of Salem. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's all there is. And then we went on this tour, and they're like, super haunted. And I was like, that's the content I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I know this building is cool. I just can't tell why.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, did I go to the basement? No, obviously not. Did I go to the washroom? Yes. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in there. There was nothing. I didn't see nothing weird. I went in the middle of the day. It was just good vibes and good food. And it was really, really highly air conditioned, which was really welcome on the hot summer day when we went. So that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the biggest selling point. I said to everyone, let's sit outside. And they said, no, let's sit inside.
Was it the air conditioning?
It was.
Was it the air conditioning or was it ghosts? Was it ghosts?
Maybe I was sitting next to a ghost.
Yeah. Maybe you were sitting on a ghost. Maybe you were sitting in a ghost.
Maybe me and a ghost were one in that moment for that lunch period. Maybe everyone else was hot, but I was cold.
Maybe. Everyone else was like,
maybe that's what Katy Perry's
about?
Song is about. You're hot, then you're cold.
Mm-hmm.
You're yes, then you're no. You're a ghost, then you're not. You're happy, you're a flop. I don't know.
What?
Who knows? Is that how that song goes?
You're happy, you're flop.
Yes. Oh, I know.
The classic opposite. Happy and flop.
Happy and flop. Are they not opposite? Mm. Yeah. But not, yeah, not so that was my experience in Salem. I didn't get to see the House of the Seven Gables, which made me, that was like the one thing I
you
really
didn't
wanted
see it
to
at
see.
All?
But no, because my family was fricked. And they were like, I'm hot. I want to go. I'm tired. And I was like, what the hell? So me and my sister actually ended up staying a little longer. And we went with my cousin Alicia and her best friend Bianca on this ghost tour, which is why we for sure were staying longer.
Yeah.
We did go to the Witch Museum, which thank God.
Oh my God,
idea
yes.
For
this
us all
is the
to go.
Best. It's
iconic.
So weird.
I know. I couldn't like explain it well for my cousin. I didn't want to hype her up about it, but I was like, but we have to go to it.
Yeah. Like, it's so fucking weird.
I think
weird.
It's also like the 50th anniversary of it or something when we were there, or 60th or something.
And they haven't changed it in 50 years.
Never. Uh-uh. It's so weird and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it very much. And I bought a notebook that is the book from, what's it called? Hocus Pocus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she goes book and it's the book with the eyeball. I bought a notebook that's shaped like that. We saw the old town hall. That's the where they stumble out of in that movie and everyone was so excited and it was so cool. Salem is cool, man. Like,
Salem's cool. Yeah.
I know. It's so kitschy and cute and just silly and fun and all the good things. We also went to, my parents did go to this and my aunt and my cousin, because they had gone, Anna Nicole and Megan Tiro had already gone to Salem before. They've already been. So they were like not particularly interested. At first, it seemed like they weren't going to come at all on our Boston trip, but then they did for most of the day. They went for lunch at Rockefeller's and all this stuff. And then my aunt was like, oh, we have to go to this museum. And it was the like the Salem Jail Museum, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, it was so random. It wasn't like along the main anything.
She's like, I just found this place, we have to go.
No, she was like, we went to it before, we have to go. And on the inside it's basically set up like a big old church. Like, I'm sure it was probably a church at some point or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it, because, like, the jails, the original Salem jails were demolished, like, in the 50s or something. They, like, got rid of them. And so they had, like, these recreations, and it was kind of similar to the Witch Museum with, like, a bunch of, like, weird wax figures and
stuff. Oh, my God.
But they walk you through it, like, down below, and, like, you look, peer into these cells and stuff, and they give you the star. It's, and before that, though, you have to sit through, like, a weird reenactment of, like, a little bit of the trial.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. And I just, like, with, like, half of the part of the set is a bunch of wax figures. And then there's, like, two actors up there just acting their buns off.
What's up with the wax figures in the Salem Museums? What the fuck?
They love it. It's Salem Museums love wax figures. They say, you know what we need more of? This.
Yeah.
And I just, like, don't know what to do with that information. It's so funny. Anyways.
How will people be able to imagine all of this without a figure, without a wax figure to guide them through?
They're like, people need it. They need the visual. They need this specific form, like weird wax figure or like weird mannequin.
Or they just won't get it.
They're not going to get it if they don't see it in this way. It was so funny. Like, the only thing I can kind of describe it as, it feels like walking through a, like, glow-in-the-dark mini putt without the glow-in-the-dark parts.
Oh, my God,
and and you're in a basement, and you can feel you're in a basement. And instead of seeing, glow-in-the-dark mini putt things, you're, like, looking into, like, weird, like, cells.
Wax and, figure like, prison. Witches
and wax figurines. And you're like, what's happening? And where am I? And what year is it?
What is going on?
What is happening here? And it was really amazing. I'm sorry if that didn't sell you on it. I don't know what else will, because I was like, what am I looking at?
Just
I saw that. It's so weird. Just didn't see the House of the Seven Gables.
Yeah. The House of the Seven Gables is more like of an actual museum.
Yeah, right?
It's like a legit museum. I don't know if I actually went. I think when we went there it was closed, so we just like went in the like lobby and like kind of peered in, but we were like too late to actually go on a tour, so we just saw kind of like outside and in the main entrance. But it's
that's fair. Yeah,
it's like a cool
building. I mean, it looks cool. I have a shirt with it on it, so I think I have a shirt with it on it. I haven't worn the shirt yet. I don't remember what's on it. But yeah, no, Salem was awesome. So many cool things. They also have like a beautiful waterfront, and like not everything is witch, but like most of it is.
Oh, so much is.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. There's like a whole section that's not, but most of it is witch and kitsch and like spooky and cute. And it's kind of like New Orleans. It's kind of like parts of it are chill and regular, and then parts of it are like, wah, wah, wee, wah. Here's some like voodoo stuff and some like jazz things.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a cool vibe. If it didn't have the witch angle, it would just be, like, a sleepy little New England town, which would be cute, too.
Which is cute.
But, yeah, which is awesome. Like, New England's a vibe.
It's very cute.
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is colonialism is a vibe, but I'm not also trying to say that.
I think you literally just said it. I'm going to clip that part out and
no!
just, like, play it for people.
Just me saying colonialism is a vibe.
Yes, no, exactly. It's not. I don't know. You just said it, so I think it's
colonialism isn't a vibe.
Isn't.
I can't say is not, because you'll just cut the not out.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not a vibe, okay? But anyways, but it's cute, and it's a good vibe.
Yeah.
And I would recommend for sure-sies. For sure-sies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was your favorite thing when you were in Salem, what you saw?
I just, like, really remember the Witch Museum and just being like, what is this fucking place? This is the weirdest thing I've ever been to.
It's so weird.
Because I did try and, like, tell people about it, and it just, like, I feel like it's hard to explain, and it doesn't come across just, like, how strange it is.
Yeah. The thing I didn't expect when I went is how high up it all is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so that was the part, because I had, like, seen it on TV, and, like, not really on TV, but, like, I'd seen it in Hubie Halloween, and I'd heard you talk about it, and Val talk about it, and, like, had seen it in, like, things online and whatever, but I didn't expect all of it to be so high up, and I was like, whoa!
You have to, like, look up, and it's such and a then it, like, weird shines a light on it.
Yeah, so they're like a bunch of different vignettes of yes. all these wax figures, and it goes through the witch trials, basically, and a little bit. It's so weird. It's just
but you're
weird.
Sitting. It's in like a round. It's like a round stage, but like yeah. you are on it's, the stage, and you have to look yeah. up.
Hmm. I've never gone to something where you had to look up like mm-hmm. that in the round. I've only mm-hmm. ever done like down in the round, which is mm-hmm. cool. Yeah, it was really interesting staging, which made me think, whoa, anything is possible, which I love.
Anything is possible, Carly.
But also made me go, this is so strange. Why would anyone do this? And it's amazing.
Anything is possible. It keeps giving. I don't know. It yeah. stayed away. It stayed awake. It stayed alive for this long. They've managed to.
For so long.
Yeah.
It's a huge building, too. It's, like, the famous one. Like, if you think of, like, the Salem Witch Museum, it's probably the one that you're thinking of. Mm. Because I at first was like, is this the right one? And I was like, no, Carly, it's
of course it is. The one. It's also the yeah. only witch museum, which is wild because, like, it's so, I feel like it's, like, not super historically accurate or.
No, it's absolutely
like,
not.
It's, it yeah. doesn't, like, analyze it at all. It's just kind of like, this no. is what happened, but in a very, like, dramatic way where you're like, oh, this is, like, watching, yeah. like, a weird documentary from the 70s. Like, I'm so confused.
It's amazing. It's yeah. a little bit like a fever trip. It's a yeah, little bit like
absolutely
for the fanfare, and it's a little bit for like trying to teach you something about the witch trials. Like, sort it's of. Doing a lot.
Yeah,
and it's doing the most with yeah. the most, really.
And then they're like, they walk you through, they're like, oh, and this is the museum part, and you're like, okay, yeah. there are like four things.
There's four.
It's like a hallway.
Yeah, and then they like I think they tack that on because they know that they don't really cover mm-hmm. any of the social issues of, like, yeah. what that kind of
they're
thing
like,
is.
Shit, we have to add this little hallway. And a huge gift shop.
The gift shop is everything. If you go yeah. just for the gift shop, yeah. oh, that's absolutely. Worth it.
Yeah.
In my opinion. That's where I got my book. Book. Mm-hmm. It's so cute. Mm-hmm. I don't want to write in it because it's too precious to me. but I think I might start writing in it this fall. Mm-hmm. Fall vibes only.
Spooky vibes.
A good time. Yeah. I guess we'll have to go back in the fall sometime. That would be
yes.
iconic.
We should.
Yeah.
Sometime.
Do a little Ghost Through Everywhere time. Well, it's won't be the only time you hear about Salem on the podcast.
Ooh.
Ooh, this year. so just know that.
Just know that. Just know that, people.
Just know about it.
And Yeah.
You've been watching anything good? Been seeing anything good? Been doing anything besides cottaging?
I watched the new Predator movie, the like prequel Ooh. Thing on Disney Plus. It's really good.
Yeah.
Prey, it's good. You should watch it.
Nice.
It's like all indigenous people are like the heroes. Yeah.
I love that for us.
And it's really cool.
That's totally cool.
So watch that.
I started watching the second season of Rutherford Falls, which okay. I'm really into. Speaking of indigenous
yeah.
creators and writers and mm-hmm. performers, it's a freaking good show. Mm-hmm. But another show I watched in its entirety in over 2 days for both seasons, which I've been meaning to watch for forever, but I'm so glad I finally watched it, mm-hmm. is Only Murders in the Building.
I haven't watched any of that.
You have to watch it, Cecilia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's Martin Short and Steve Martin and mm-hmm. Selena Gomez
yeah.
for some reason.
Finally. It's amazing. Together at last.
The trio we've always asked for forever. Uh-huh. No, it's like, it's so silly. Tina Fey's in it. Like, it's, mm-hmm. and there's so many people that show up. Like, Paul Rudd shows up
mm-hmm.
In this most recent season, not to spoil anything, but like, mm-hmm. it's so, Amy Schumer shows up. Sting is there. It's really oh weird. It's the most, like, it's the most ridiculous gaggle of people.
Yeah.
And it's good, man. It's a good
mm-hmm.
show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we love a whodunit. We love a murder mystery. We love, like, silly comedy people. That's what this show is, too. It's mm-hmm. everything. We love, like, an old, weird building. We love New York City. It's all of these things. Mm-hmm. World into one show. It's like they built this show for the things we like.
Mm-hmm. It's actually sponsored by Ghosts Are Everywhere. I don't know if you know that, but
you might not know that, but it's
I don't know if you know that, but we sponsored the show and they stand by us actually. And Selena Gomez yeah. is our guest on our next episode.
Do you have you heard anything about the premise, or have you only heard like what I just said, basically?
I don't really know anything about it.
Yeah. Do you want to hear a little bit about it that I didn't know, and then going in made me like it even more?
I might just like I kind of want to just go in blind though. To
I think you should. Yeah, I think you
more
should.
Fun that way. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, report back when you start and let us know what you think. Because honestly, like, there's other things I didn't mention that they have, like, it feels like they built the show for us. Mm-hmm. Like, we're the target demographic in every way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's really silly. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So those are our things we've been watching. Those are our things.
We promise you that we will maybe have an episode next week. We'll be back again.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to double down and say we will for sure have an episode next week.
Well, Carly gives you that Carly Billings promise, and she never backs down.
Hey, I mostly keep my promises, mostly. Okay? I'm a pretty reliable person, I would say.
Carly will never give up, never give in, and she says that we will do an episode next week, and we have to stand by that.
She will never give up and never give in. That's right. My Capricorn moon won't let me. I will stay stalwart and make it happen.
Stay strong. Stay alert.
Sure. Yes.
Sure. Why not?
I will. Why not? Yeah.
So we'll see you then.
Unless we'll you have see more you then to say. Next week, like we promised. I just have one, a little question for you, though, Cecilia, before we sign off officially.
Yeah, what was
the question? I was just wondering, just for me, not for anyone else, just, like, really just, you know, like, wondering and thinking about it and, like, pondering and wondering and, thinking and wanted to ask you, have you seen any ghosts lately?
I was in an old house in the suburbs. I was in my, my boyfriend's dad's house, and, I believe it was cursed, but I didn't see any ghosts.
Well, hey, we've been known to cover a curse or two on this podcast.
It felt cursed. It felt cursed to me, my whole weekend in Ottawa, as I said, was cursed, but a lot of curses, no ghosts.
A lot of curses, no ghosts. You heard it here first, folks.
Mm-hmm. Carly.
Hey, we can always hope for the opposite next time. Yeah, Cecilia.
So, I mean, you were in PEI, and we've heard some pretty wild PEI ghost stories. Did you see any ghosts while you were there?
No, I didn't.
You didn't go to that, like, ghost pond or whatever?
No, I didn't. Oh, my God. No, but I did hang out with Pals of the Pod, Ben and Eden and Cam and Brandon. And we have a soon-to-be pal of the pod in the works. Who's already a pal of mine. He's been a pal of mine for years. But she is finally going to be on the podcast.
Finally coming on the pod.
Who you'll meet soon. And I won't reveal who she is till she's here. But she knows all those people I also just mentioned.
Amazing.
Though we did go to, I went to a party, a little get together, not a party. And we in the at nighttime went out to a big field and saw a really big tall range light, which a range light basically it looks like a big lighthouse, but a range light doesn't move, whereas like a lighthouse moves. So saw that at night. It was pretty spooky. Spooky, scary.
Wow. Maybe there was actually no light and it was actually a ghost.
Wow. Ghost range light? Ghost
really
light
makes you think.
Wouldn't be the first time, I'm sure.
Ghost light.
Hey, and you know what? Our ghost guy, our ghost boy Cameron was the one who brought us there. So maybe. Wouldn't put it past him to sneak a little spooky. Yeah. A little spookiness onto the agenda without telling anyone.
Let's go here. I promise you there's no ghosts.
That's right. I did get bit by a lot of mosquitoes, and like if you think about it, mosquitoes carry blood of other people in them.
That's
and
true.
Kind of the ghosts of bites past.
That's so really gross. I hate it.
It's really gross, and the only place I was like really bitten by mosquitoes during my trip. So you know what? Maybe there were ghosts.
Maybe
because you know what, Celia? Ghosts are freaking everywhere, man.
They are, and that's our promise.
And that's our promise to you. That's a ghost are everywhere guarantee. Ghosts are everywhere.
Ghosts are everywhere.
So, Celia, where can our pals find us on the interweb?
We are on the internet. We are on Instagram at JoGoJosts. Josts or ghosts?
And Josts are everywhere? We've changed it.
Ghosts are everywhere pod on TikTok as well, and GAE pod on, what's it called? Twitter. And then
Twitter.
Yeah. We also have a little email that's ghosts are everywhere at gmail.com, sure, I think.
Yeah. We also have a little enamel mug moment. Yeah, for
get a mug.
They're linked in our description, and they'll be linked on our Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
In our bio, if you want to get a little matching logo Ghost River mug, mm-hmm, for yourself, for your camping gear, for your cozy time, winter time vibes, they're really good all year round.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, they're handmade in the Ukraine, and they're really freaking cool. We love them.
They're good all the time for all of your drinking needs.
Cold drinks, warm drinks, mm-hmm, medium drinks, all the drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you can snag yourself one of those.
Yep.
And, that's all we got for you today.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we got. Mm-hmm. And we know that we'll see you next week, like I promised!
And that's it, and that's all, and we'll see you next week. Because Carly never doesn't do the thing.
Carly never doesn't not do the thing. That's right. That's our other Ghost River guarantee.
Okay, bye.
Okay, well, have a good week. Don't go in tunnels. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Of the Nam Ki Egg. Nam Ki Og. Nam Ki Og. Nam Ki Egg. Nam Ki Og.